really excited to be here. Currently, I'm at Flatiron Institute. I'm a pre-doctoral fellow at CCA. So also, if you happen to be there, I'm with the other pre-docs on the sixth floor. I would be happy to chat with you. So I'm very excited to talk to you about this work that I've been doing. It's with some people, my supervisor, Dan, and Giorgio from the University of Groningen, and but also people from Cambridge, Alexander and Anthony, and Toshia from Tokyo. This is preliminary work, but we're finishing up the paper, so check out the archive in the next few weeks. But I'm going to give you a preview of our results here. Okay, perfect. So the focus will be on the reconstruction of the lensing bispectrum from CMB anisotropies, and in particular the challenges in doing so. I'm going to give you a brief introduction of the topic and explain why we go beyond the Gaussian assumption for the lensing signal. And I will explain how we reconstruct lensing from the CMB anisotropies and how we do this using Feynman diagrams, even if there's no particle physics in that. And I will share with you some results on both analytical and with simulations. And then I'll give you conclusions and future directions. So let's start from introduction. The path of CMB photons that travel through the universe, they arrive towards our detectors, and they are deflected by the distribution of matter, the large-scale distribution of matter. And you can see, does this work? Okay. Yeah, if you're thinking like my eyes needs to be checked, it's because actually this is a short clip. You see the unlensed and lensed CMB patch of the sky. This is the temperature anisotropies. And I mean, this is just to prove that is actually this distortion is coherent over several degrees, but it's actually very small. It's on arc minute. It's a border of arc minutes. So don't worry, your eyes are okay. It's just the distortion is really small. So effectively, what happens is that the CMB anisotropies, like here you have the temperature one, gets remapped by a deflection angle that is defined as the gradient of the lensing potential here. The lensing potential is defined as the gravitational potential integrated along the line of sight, where here you have that chi is the Kolmogorov distance. I hope I'm pointing to the right thing. It's very difficult to see from here. Okay. chi is the Kolmogorov distance, and as I said, psi is the lensing potential. And it gets integrated from the recombination, so when the CMB was emitted, up to now. And as such, the lensing potential, phi, traces the matter distribution across several redshifts, which makes lensing a really powerful probe of this growth of large-scale structure and also other processes and matter content that actually can suppress cosmic growth, such as neutrino masses. So lensing is a way to actually probe through the CMB the mass of neutrinos. And so the neutrino mass hierarchy, but also dark energy models, especially at lower redshifts. Please interrupt me if you have questions also during the talk. I don't mind that. Given that these distortions are really small, we can actually expand this expression here, where you, and I'm showing this because it's really useful to understand what actually is the effect of lensing in the CMB. So the temperature, lensed temperature modes that you measured actually can be written as an expansion of the unlensed ones that actually, and then you, and the lensing potential. And as you can see, like while usually you would have that the power spectrum, so two-point correlation functional temperature modes, is the contains all the information from the CMB, actually now you have some of diagonal terms and the even point correlation functions of the temperature modes here are non-zero. And so one effect of lensing is that it induces secondary non-Gaussianity in the CMB anisotropies, and I call it we call it secondary because we want to distinguish it from primordial non-Gaussianities that come from inflation. And One other important point is that the lensing potential phi can be reconstructed from this lens CMB that we observe. I hope if you have questions, just ask me about this. So as I said, like the power spectrum, if the lensing signal is Gaussian, then the power spectrum is all we need to actually study it. And with this, the lensing power spectrum has been measured by Planck, and most recently, well, not only by Planck, by the way, but most recently by Planck in 2018, with the statistical significance of 40 sigma. And here I'm just like showing you the power spectrum and in terms of the scales where the distortion happens, where the straight line, the solid line is the predicted, theoretical predicted power spectrum, and then you have the measurements. And this signal has been, it's really, I mean, it's important for many reasons. Here I'm just reporting this plot from the same paper where you can see how the constraints on the matter density and on sigma 8, which is the amplitude of the linear matter power spectrum, 8 megaparsecs. How the combination of lensing and Planck primary anisotropies information can actually tighten the constraints on these parameters. And so with this in mind, we're motivated also to look at, we're motivated to study further this signal. And in particular, to actually go beyond the Gaussian assumption and study the bispectrum, so the next order correlation function of lensing. At late times, the nonlinear clustering generates non-Gaussianity that induces a non-zero bispectrum of phi. So just here, let's be all in the same place. I'm talking about the bispectrum of phi, so not of the CMB, so just to keep in mind this, the non-Gaussianity in the CMB is only induced by lensing, nothing else. And here we're going beyond the Gaussian assumption for phi. This signal is actually very promising. So while Planck was fine to assume that the signal is Gaussian for Planck sensitivity. Actually, especially in this paper from 2016, it has been forecasted that the lensing bispectrum will be detected by upcoming CMB experiments. In particular, in this plot here, you see the cumulative signal-to-noise ratio of the bispectrum for three different types of experiments specifications. We have stage 3 and stage 4 CMB experiments. Stage 3 are the ones that are really like upcoming in the next few years, like for example, Simons Observatory. Stage 4 is CMB stage 4, for example, that will come in the next decade, I think. Without going into details, these like the solid and dashed lines are two different ways to reconstruct the noise of the signal. But as you can see, especially for stage 4 experiments, the detection can happen at a high statistical significance. One other reason that motivates us, another result from this paper from 2016, is that the combination of the lensing power spectrum and the bispectrum can improve the constraints on the sum of neutrino masses and dark energy by a lot, by 30% up to 35%. This is with respect to using the power spectrum alone. And this result is from the CMBS4, stage 4 CMB experiments. So with this in mind, our goal is to to look at the bispectrum as a tool to further tighten the constraints on late-time cosmology. Now I'm going to explain a little bit how we reconstruct actually the lensing potential from the CMB. An efficient optimum way to do this is by using this estimator, which is quadratic in the anisotropies. Just let me say that I'm talking about temperature anisotropies only, but of course lensing has an effect on polarization as well. But since in this work we limit our analysis to temperature, I'm going to discuss that only. And so this is the Huokamoto estimator, where you have that here you have a normalization to make the estimator unbiased and a filter function that makes it statistically optimal. Now, if we want to take the bispectrum, so three copies of phi, what we have is a bunch of integrals and delta functions, filter function, and normalization. But most importantly, we have a six-point correlation function of length anisotropies. And we compute this perturbatively in phi. What we obtain is the signal, so the bispectrum that we're looking for, but also a bunch of other terms that are called traditional noise biases because they literally add noise and bias the signal, where this the superscript here give you the order of these terms in the Lansing power spectrum. In particular, N0 arises even in the absence of Lansing. It's just basically it comes from the estimator itself, while N1 is linear in the Lansing power spectrum, and N2 is quadratic in the Lansing power spectrum, and N3 halves is linear in the bispectrum, and so is the, let's say, is the non-Gaussian noise bias that we have, while the others are only Gaussian because they depend only on the Lansing power spectrum. And here I'm just giving you like a super preliminary showing you some very preliminary plots that I will explain later in the talk, but I just wanted to kind of show you that the noise biases actually hinder the signal that we're looking for. And so here you have the signal that we computed with two different models to fit the matter bispectrum in the equilateral unfolded slicing. And the equilateral one is when you have the sides that are the same. So as you can see here, and the folded where the, actually the triangle is basically folded. And together with the signal, you can see the two leading order noise biases. This is the first two, N0 and N1. And as you can see, let's take the equilateral slicing, the especially at high Ls, so in this part here, the noise biases really literally the signal is literally buried by the noise biases. And in the folded one, you have that noise biases are negative while the signal is positive, so they bump the signal down. And so in order to get this here, our treasure, we actually have to remove the noise from it. And this is the goal of what we're doing. This is are the two, like the Scocimano and Guilmarine models. I don't want to go into the details of how we compute the bispectrum, but it's just to say this is this, our signal, but these are the noises that we have. And so we really have to carefully remove them. I'm giving you just a very quick recap since I gave you a lot of information. So, as I said, like upcoming CMB experiments will be able to detect the bispectrum of the Lansing potential. And with this signal, we can tighten constraints on late time cosmology, especially combined with the Lansing power spectrum. Yes.
I guess it's kind of a broad question because I'm going to follow up. So, can you be thinking of this bispectrum as coming from
nonlinear structure formation? Yeah. No, nonlinear structure formation. Yeah. That's a good point. As I said, we are considering the CMB to be Gaussian, but the lensed one is non-Gaussian due to lensing only. We're not considering any other secondary effect. Okay. And yes?
So anything is sort of an order in the isotropy, so that
we think
order six in?
Yes. Yeah. Indeed, like, yeah, if you take this estimator, you see you have quadratic in the temperature and isotropies. And so if you take the power spectrum of this, you're going to have a non-zero four-point function of length temperature modes. But if we're taking the three-point function, then we have a six-point correlation function, which is the pentaspectrum, it's called.
Order of magnitude, I expect, like, I guess it's hard to say order of magnitude. but it's a order of power spectrum cubed.
So you can expand this expression as I showed here, and so you can have various orders of the power spectrum. Yeah. Yes.
So maybe you'll get to this later, but just to hear kind of philosophy on something. So you know, we derive this quadratic estimator with the assumption all the fields are yes.
Yeah.
And then we discover that there are these biases because we make this assumption that all fields are yes. But if your target is directly the bias spectrum, does it make sense to just rethink that first step?
That's a good point, but I think you still have the Gaussian noise biases that arise. It's I don't think you can eliminate that. Actually, I haven't thought about it. If you have a way to remove them somehow, but just considering the non-Gaussianity of the signal, yeah, that's a good point. I think about it. Yeah, thanks. and so as I was saying, the signal is buried in reconstruction noise, even if phi is Gaussian. And in the rest of the talk, I will explain how we quantify these noise biases. So traditionally, a way to compute correlation functions is by using the weak theorem. You contract the fields and you get the correlations. Keeping track of all the terms in a six-point correlation function is kind of hard, can be very challenging. What we do here is use Feynman diagrams as just simply as a formalism to compute these terms. So I'm just showing you how these diagrams look, and then I'm going to go into the details of them. And so you can have diagrams like this that represent a connected two-point function taken three times. But you can also have more complicated one like this one that is a four-point connected function and a two-point. And here you have the full six-point correlation function. But don't worry, I'm just going to go into the details of this diagram specifically and show you how step-by-step how we get there. So all the framework for this was developed in 2014 in this paper here. We start from building blocks. We have this block here with two vertices in that correspond to the two temperature and isotropies in the quadratic estimator. And you can take this term, which is equal to the normalization and the filter function. You can also introduce propagators, as similarly to what you do in particle physics, where you have a straight line for the unlensed CMB temperature power spectrum and a weak line for the lensing potential power spectrum. And as a rule to keep in mind, at each vertex here, you have momentum conservation, so you will have a delta function. So now, if we want to compute the bispectrum, we will take three building blocks because we have a six-point correlation function. And let's say we go to the lowest order possible in the expansion, so we have only unlensed temperature mode. So what we have is just straight lines here. This is the lowest order. Now, momentum conservation gives us allows us to rewrite some of the momenta in terms of the others. So what we have is basically only L1 here is small L1 here is independent. So you have an integral over that. You have your normalizations and filter functions, and the power spectra with the momenta that are defined by the momentum conservation. And finally, you have a symmetry factor here, which is in this case it's 8, because you can show that you have 8 types of this of non-zero diagrams like this, but inside each building block you have a symmetry for the exchange of vertices. You can show this very easily. And so this problem reduces to only one independent diagram with a factor of 8. Finally, as I showed you in the first slide on this, here, if you can define the connected parts of the diagram as the parts that if you cut a line through here, you're going to cut a propagator. In particular, this is the connected two-point function taken three times, and this corresponds to N0, one of the noise biases. And so just like without going to the details of the calculations, you can write down your diagrams. This is the lowest order. And immediately from that, you can recognize symmetries. And using momentum conservation, you can get your final result. You can do this also for weak contraction, of course, with that. But this is also a nice way to do that, especially when you go to higher order. So let's if you go to a higher order in phi, then you will have a wiggly line that corresponds to the Lansing power spectrum. And you have N1, you get N1 from these types of diagrams. And here you can see also visually how this corresponds to a connected four-point function and a two-point function, because if you cut through these lines, you're cutting a propagator, while if you go this way, you don't cut any propagator. And you can move on with these calculations by adding. Yeah.
So is your goal so far at this point just computing the expected signal or the noise signal?
And the noise mostly.
Okay, so this NV1 is the noise.
Yeah, exactly. So this like the N with a B is the noise associated to the bispectrum. Yeah, there's of course when you do all these calculations, you'll end up also with this sort of diagram for the signal. But here we're focusing mostly on the noise.
But you're still averaging this product, but the noise is squared and then average.
What
is this? So just to be clear, so there's a semantic bias. And then there is the noise, which is a stochastic. So,
yes.
What is it that you calculate?
No, do you mean like, so with noise, we're not considering any instrument noise. I don't know if you mean that.
You're not considering
any instrument? No.
Okay.
This is just purely theoretical.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yes?
Sorry, can you remind me of the difference
between S5? Yes. Yes, this one. Yeah, so the type of propagator we have is a straight line for the unlensed temperature power spectrum and a wiggle line for the lensed one. Yeah, so when you are at lowest order, then when you have just unlensed TMB, you get this type of diagram, and then you can add as many lines. Actually, you can go on with the expansion as far as you want, but we stop it. And two. Yes. Any other question? Yes.
How do I understand the vertex for two waiting lines? What
does that mean? Here, this one, this? Yeah, this is a bispectrum of Lansing. Yeah. Indeed, this, as I said at the beginning, this term here and three halves, these three halves actually refers to the fact that this noise bias is proportional to the signal itself, so it contains the signal. This is similar to when you reconstruct the power spectrum of phi, you get similar terms. You don't have, well, you have N3 halves actually, but you get a similar expression with a signal and the noise biases, but N1 already contains the Lansing power spectrum, so your signal. I will mostly focus, so also our work is mostly focused on these two noise biases, so we keep it Gaussian, let's say. Is there any other question? All right. And I hope I'm not going too fast. So, and now I wanted to show you actually some results from both the numerical evaluation of these terms and then also simulations, because we wanted also to kind of check the consistency of our results with simulations. And so let me show you how we can simulate these terms, because you can do that. Let's take N0. As I said, this term, this noise arises even when there's no Lansing in the CMB. But we want to actually consider that. And so what we can do to simulate this is take, is draw a realization from a fiducial lens power spectrum. So you get a lens TMB map. Then use the quadratic estimator here to reconstruct phi. And then a binned bispectrum to compute actually the bispectrum. Since N0 doesn't introduce any statistics from phi, this bispectrum will be just proportional to N0 because there is no signal. We're only considering Gaussian statistics. And we actually just changed the variance basically of the map. We didn't do anything else. And for the beam bispectrum, we consider two shapes, as I kind of showed you earlier, the equilateral one and the folded, because it has been shown that these two shapes contribute mostly to the signal. And there's, for people who work on primordial Gaussianity, these are just the, like, you take the bispectrum, and these are slicings that you can consider configurations of the triangle that you get from the map, basically. So you have the map here of phi that you reconstructed, and the beam bispectrum takes this or this relation into mind and computes the bispectrum. So this is what our results. You have in blue the equilateral configuration, and in dashed line orange, you have the folded one. And on top of them, you find the simulation data. So here we averaged over 10,000 simulations. So that's why the error bars are very small. They're not even visible, I think. One thing that you probably already noticed is this part here. We find that we confirmed that the folded configuration is affected by binning. So the size of the number of bins that you consider actually affect the result. Indeed, if we increase the number of bins, actually, we get a better match with simulations. Here, I'm showing, again, the folded configuration with and the bin bispectrum computed using 20 bins, 60 bins, and 100. And as you can see in the residuals, actually, there's a quite difference between 100 and 20. And in these results here, we use 60. Why do we use 60? Well, because this computation requires some time, and so that was like kind of the middle ground that we found, basically. But nonetheless, we get a good agreement with the order of magnitude of these terms, especially at higher L's here. We can do the same for N1, even if it's a bit more complicated. So we start from this time an unlensed CMB power spectrum, and we make a map from it, so we draw a realization. But we also take a Gaussian realization of phi, and we use it to lens this map. So we get a lens CMB map. And then we do the same. We reconstruct phi with the quadratic estimator, and we compute the bispectrum with a binned bispectrum. Now what we have is N0, because it's always there, N1, which is the term that we want to test. But we also get N2, because this term, as I said, this is quadratic in the lensing power spectrum, so it will appear. However, there's a prescription from this paper, which is really useful, because you can actually mitigate this term. We can not completely cancel it, but really almost remove most of the contributions by reconstructing non-perturbatively, which means that in the reconstruction here, we use the lens bispectra instead of the unlensed one. And this works pretty fine. It removes most of the effect of N2. Finally, so we're left with N0 here. There are many ways to remove N0, especially for an ideal situation like this one, where we don't have real data, we don't have instrumental noise. So, but you can actually remove the analytical result of N0. But here we decide to actually go another way. We take our new lens CMB map, and we compute the power spectrum from that, and then we redo basically what we did for N0. So we get the N0 of the specific map that we want to subtract. And this actually, I mean, this kind of mitigates also the effect that might come from full sky and flat sky mismatch, or a little bit also with binning. So here is what we get for N1. So again, in dashed line, here is green, we get the folded, this is negative, has negative values. And the magenta line is the equilateral configuration. So even if it looks like for the, at least for the folded one, that the binning effect is a little bit mitigated, there's N1 term for the equilateral configuration is characterized by these oscillations at high Ls that seem to be very difficult to capture even with a large number of simulations. Here again, we're considering 10,000. And we're still thinking about it actually. And again, we think it might be the size of the bin. Yes.
Sorry, can you repeat again, what type of simulations are these?
Yes. So these are lens CMB maps that we lens with the Gaussian phi, where we computed the bispectrum. And so we have only the Gaussian terms. So we don't have any signal in this, only the Gaussian noise biases. And we, as I showed you here, you also have N2, but we can actually remove it by doing this non-perturbatively. And then the next step is to actually remove from the simulation N0. And we do it this way, by taking the power spectrum of the lens map and reconstructing from that one N0. So in some sense, you can see this as taking your map and extracting N0 from there directly. Yes. So we're still thinking about this, but so our intuition is that this is probably due again to the binning, because if you have a large bin, then you're averaging inside the bin, and so probably the sample noise that comes from each realization is too high. Also here, we are considering very low signals, as you can see, like it's the 10 to the minus 13, between 10 to the minus 12 and 13. And so probably there's also a lot of noise that comes from that. But again, at least we, like, good side of this is that we get the order of magnitude that we're going, I mean, somewhere. And also one thing that maybe people who have worked on Lensian reconstruction of the power spectrum will recognize, that actually this is similar to the oscillating features that you find also in the N1 of the power spectrum. It's similar to that. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, this one has error bars. Yeah. So another way maybe also to kind of mitigate this oscillation might be also to consider more simulations. You made it. I'm at the end of the talk. Just to wrap up, the CMB lensing allows us to constrain length time cosmology, and especially something to look for it for the next year is the non-Gaussian signal, so the bispectrum of the lensing potential. However, to get this signal, we have to first compute and quantify the noise biases that arise from reconstructing it. And in this work, we are able to theoretically model these terms and to consistently with simulations. So for the future, we, first of all, we need to include polarization data. As I said, we only consider temperature. And for this, the Feynman diagrams, I think personally, will be very useful, because they will allow us to kind of consider all the possible permutation of T, E, and B modes. Then what we would like to do next is to perform a similar analysis that we saw for the non-Gaussian noise bias, so N3 halves, also because this term contains the signal, so it will be very crucial to, very important to characterize this term. We would like also to, in view of actually having data, we would like to also perform a realization dependent analysis that mixes data and simulations, and it's more robust to systematics that might come from having to deal with real data. And talking about it, we would like to actually detect this signal with upcoming experiments, especially Simons Observatory, who is around the corner. Thank you so much. I have worked on other things, and so here is a list. I won't go through it, but please, if you're interested in any of this, come talk to me. Thank you so much. Yes.
So what is the signal to noise you expect for Simons Observatory?
Yeah, we haven't computed that. But at the beginning, maybe it's easier this way. See if I can see. I cannot see my pointer. Okay. Yeah, so Simons Observatory is basically between stage 3 and stage 4. And so you can imagine that the line will be somewhere here in the middle. Yeah.
What's
the
static? Are you
worried about that? Well, a lot. I mean, so given that this work is really very preliminary into detecting the bispectrum, we haven't put too much thought into that, but probably there's going to be a lot to consider for, in terms of foregrounds, especially, I think, for the temperature mode. Yeah, probably we'll do all the system. We will test all the systemized with the simulations mostly. I know that it's already very difficult for the power spectrum, so we expect like a more complexity in this case.
I think the last slide you showed mentioned that
combination of Yeah, so this is something, yeah, oh, where is it? Yes. Is it something that we started to think about when I went to CCA, actually, with a bunch of people there? We were thinking about taking these cross-correlated bispectra, so consider phi and tracers from large-scale structures like cosmic shear and galaxy density. This would be, I mean, this hasn't been done as far as I know. And it would be great to actually see if we can break some parameter degeneracy with taking into account different experiments. And even if I'm not an expert on that, but I know that both CNB service and large case structure have systematics, and then they can be removed if you consider two different service together, or you can use measurements from one to actually mitigate systematics from the other one. And something else that this is actually my project at CCA, is actually to consider to see, to compute the signal from CMB lensing and lensing cosmic shear measurements from radio galaxies to see whether we can have some good forecasts on cosmological parameters. This is all ongoing work.
So one thing I would agree about with CMB lensing bispectral estimation is that the noise on the bispectrum is now under control for convergence.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be rather different. There are going to be a lot of terms, probably too many to be that locally in the assumption of the parameters. And it might have been because of all the terms, it might end up being pretty different.
Okay.
And that matters for like a star.
Okay.
Do you have a sense for what that covariance might look like, or how different
it might be from Megas? I haven't thought about it. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Questions for
that's the next
one. Okay.
Sorry. So, you know, the why we're doing this part, measuring properties.
Yeah, and the neutrino mass is, yeah.
At what point does this actually become useful? Is that already the science of some story?
Yeah, I think so.
Generation.
I think already with the Simons Observatory, especially if we combine the bispectrum with power spectrum, I think it already will tighten the constraints by a lot. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yes.
So, do you have any thoughts on whether you could use this to detect primordial nanoparticles?
So I haven't thought about it too much, but actually it would be a good point. I don't know. I was thinking about it as well. Like, I need to think more about it, but it would be, yeah, like, why not? It would be great, actually. Yeah. Well, in general, I'm very interested in non-Gaussianity of any type. Yeah. And I think it's really something that we will have to look up in the future. Thank you.